Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
It's another series win and another game that the Brewers didn't have their A game offensively, but they brought it on the run prevention side, and they get a 2-1 back-to-back one-run victories for the crew. Man, I mean, they are pitching it right now, and this is all without Brandon Woodruff. This is all without Quinn Priester. This is with underperformance from the back end of the bullpen. Chad Patrick with a four-inning save. Logan Henderson with the dub. Jerry Augustine is with us. I'm Dom Catronio. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. First and foremost, I mean, Augie, these guys just keep on rolling with the pitching staff. Henderson getting five with seven strikeouts. Chad Patrick, the ultra-rare four-inning save, gives the bullpen a breather when they needed it most. Oh, by the way, they're all in their second year in the show. It's not supposed to be this easy.
It's amazing. I look at this game, and I was trying to come up with an adjective to describe the game. I guess the best one I could come up with is adjustment. And the only way, I guess, reason I say adjustment, by what these two young men, Henderson and Patrick, did tonight, allow this pitching staff to adjust and get the rest that they needed with the big series coming up. What Murph was able to do was allow Chad Patrick, Henderson to go to five. Chad Patrick was phenomenal in the last four innings, commanding the strike zone, giving up just a one hit, no walks, strikeout, pitching out of a jam. Henderson pitched out of a couple jams, had five of his seven strikeouts were runners in scoring position. It's such a unique game, but, you know, adjustment. It allowed the team to do things that they need to do to be healthy from day to day. And I'll tell you what, these two guys, the story of tonight's game definitely has to be Henderson and Patrick. They were phenomenal.
And how about the approach on the other side today, too, for the Twins? Just a swing-happy approach. And it took a couple innings. You know, you had that 30-pitch second inning against Logan Henderson. And he, you know, the one mistake he made was a flat cutter that was hit over the wall in right field. But it really felt like, to me, Augie, that both of these guys, and credit to Gary behind the plate today too, keyed in on how much they were swinging the Twins were early. They were not patient at all. So they just kept toying them to see, all right, well, how wide do you want to go? How quickly can we get these counts to two strikes? And it was with foul balls. It was with ground outs quickly. I just thought that the Brewers took advantage of the lack thereof of a game plan from the Twins tonight.
You know, we talk so much about this coaching duo that we have, and Contreras, the way he handles pitchers and how he understands what to throw in situations and how smart he is and going sequences. But I'll tell you what, I thought tonight Gary Sanchez did just an outstanding job. He took the pitch that was Henderson's number one pitch, his best pitch that he has, and he complemented with his other pitches. His changeup is his best pitch, and he used it to the best that he could tonight, used it in situations, was able to throw it for strikes, was able to get some swings and misses with it, but used that pitch to set up the other pitches that he had, the cutter and the good fastball that he had. And I'll tell you what, I thought he did a great job behind the plate calling a game. I thought he did a great job of keeping everything under control because Henderson was in some troubles that time, but yet settled things down, slowed the game down, and was able to come up with some really good sequences. Like I said, you get runners in scoring position, and you have five strikeouts with runners in scoring position. That's really special, and Henderson did that tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the second inning was the inning of the game. When you have second and third and nobody out, and then bases loaded, one out, I don't care that it was the bottom of the order. All three outs via strikeout, all three outs on different pitches. It took him 30 pitches. It was his longest inning of the day by far. And a reminder, I mean, the slider was completely scrapped today. It was just fastball, changeup, cutter. And it felt like he divided the pie nearly evenly. Now, you're still going to throw a majority fastballs, especially when he has such a unique heater. But to see him really showcase the cutter today, in addition to the changeup that we know is great, and in my opinion, Augie, I thought the changeup at times was a little flat, but because it was so different from his fastball, and we mentioned the aggressiveness from the Twins, they were completely fooled by it. So I just think that, again, reading the swings, reading the situation of, okay, well, they want to be ultra-aggressive, let's just keep pulling the string on them.
Yeah, he did. And you're right on the changeup, but he did. It seems like every once in a while he get out, and they call it rolling the ball out of your hand when the ball kind of just has that fade, that east-west fade, more than getting a little bit north-south adding into it. But I thought he did such a job of locating it well, locating where he needed to get in a spot where he could get just them off stride, and then being able to come on the opposite side to play with that good fastball and that cutter that he had. That cutter was special tonight. He got it in some really good locations. And it's because of that changeup, where he was able to locate that changeup, it made that fastball and that cutter just that much better. Just a great job. And, you know, you see these young kids go out, and we have probably the youngest starting rotation in all of baseball right now. And to watch these guys go out and demonstrate what they can do when they get themselves in trouble to make the pitches that they do is really special. And Chad Patrick tonight, you know, we've talked about it. He's had a little bit of struggles as a starter, but I'll tell you what, he's come in out of that bullpen, and tonight he was fantastic. He had a great cutter, was able to locate his fastball, and just dominated for four innings.
I think the craziest part of this last nine-game stretch right now for the Brewers and their starters in particular, and you can throw Chad in this too, I guess, to a certain extent, but what blows my mind is each of the last nine games, and tomorrow will be, you know, likely Robert Gasser, so that'll make it 10, that the starter in these 10 games will all have not been on the opening day roster last year, and they are all with pre-arbitration. They are all, you know, young, under the age of 25. I mean, this is the gold mine the Brewers are sitting on, and they are finally starting to spend some of that cash. They're like, oh, yeah, we got this young arm, and we got this young arm, and we got this young arm, and they're all performing at the highest level.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's that culture. And, you know, we talked about it over the last few days about that culture that Chris Hook and Jim Henderson have brought in. And it's more than just being able to throw the ball over the plate or what you have in on the as far as your pitch, what you can do, and the part of being able to throw strikes and how hard you throw and the pitches you have. It's about learning these guys and learning them from other phases, the mental side of the game, and being able to say, take that mental side of the game and say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take the mental side. We're going to take what you do well. We're going to make it better. But the secondary pitches, they are important also. We're going to work on them. And that culture that they have now to be able to command the strike zone so much with their secondary pitches, Dom, is just – it's unbelievable. Usually you see young kids go out there, they don't have the great command of it. But these guys go out there with confidence, and they throw strikes, and they don't walk people, and they get ahead of people, and they do it with their secondary pitches as well as their primary pitch. So it's just so much fun to watch.
Very fun. The Brewers get the win 2-1. We do got to talk about something that's kind of glaring right now. What's up with the offense? We'll talk about that coming up next. Brewers win 2-1, 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Back in a moment on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers get the victory 2-1 over the Twins. They go for the sweep tomorrow. Hopefully, knock on wood, dodging some raindrops tomorrow in Minneapolis. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. A couple of texts that I've rolled through here. Brandon from Waukesha, great job by Chad. It sounded like a home game in Minneapolis tonight. Go crew. Alex in Oshkosh would love to sweep the Twins tomorrow. Cheerio, homers. Awesome. This one from Doug. I love keeping Patrick in for the ninth. Stay with the hot hand. Good to see the homers as well. They keep winning, but how long can they sustain this? And then Jeff from Elkhorn leading us into our segment here talking offense. Great job of the pitchers and the defense. Always good to win a series. But my question, does the lack of offense worry you right now? I mean, right now for the Brewers, it's a two-headed horse of just Bryce Terang and Jackson Churio carrying the offense. Today was a Churio game. He goes 2-for-4 with a double and a home run. Yes, he struck out two more times today. Terang gets on base another time with a 1-for-4 day. He's hitting .295 with a .911 OPS to this point in the season. But then, you know, Contreras had a single. Vaughn had a single and a walk. Everyone else was 0-for. Yes, there's a couple walks in there too, but especially concerned out of the bottom of the order with Frelick, Perkins, and Ortiz going a combined 0-for-11 with just one walk. So I think the answer to this question, Augie, is yes, I am concerned about the lack of consistent offense the Brewers have had. But on the flip side of that coin, the Twins starting rotation is probably the best position group that they have, and the Brewers have been kept down. A reminder, this team just did a really nice job against the Yankees over this past weekend, who is also a very good starting staff.
Yeah, I agree with you. Sometimes you go through these phases where you're just facing some really good, solid pitching. And I agree. We saw it with the Yankees, and now we come in with the Twins. And last night, Ryan is one of the better pitchers in all of baseball. You hear his name up a lot on the trade market that a lot of teams would like to get him. And he's always been a very consistent pitcher. He's probably the number one pitcher that the Twins have. And today, Prelip was really good. I'll tell you what, when you talk about a guy who uses his off-speed stuff, was able to throw strikes, and, you know, he had a career-high 8 strikeouts, but he just made that one mistake. He threw a changeup up, and Cherry was able to drive the ball out of the ballpark. But other than that, I thought he located the ball really well today. Pitched from behind. He used his off-secondary pitches. We talked so much about Henderson and Patrick being able to use their secondary pitches, the cutter and the changeups and those things. I thought today Prelip did a nice job of using those secondary pitches to his advantage and really kept the hitters off stride.
You know, Churio right now, yes, the strikeouts have spiked for him since he returned, and some of that could be Russ. He's got 15 strikeouts in his first 10 games, 47 plate appearances. But this is kind of the example we've been trying to talk about with Garrett Mitchell, where you can live with a really high strikeout rate, 33% of the time or so right now for Churio, when you're producing. I mean, he's got 6 extra base hits, 5 doubles, a homer now, finally his first of the year. The walks are a little lower than I expected at this point in the year. But for Churio to hit the ground running the way he has in this first week back from the injured list certainly is encouraging, and I think the strikeouts will eventually level off and get him back down to normal, because him at the top of this order, it just changes everything, especially when you're facing a left-handed pitcher.
Yeah, I tell you, that 1-2 punch that they have at top of Churio and Triang is so good. And, you know, it just looks like he's starting to come into his own. He's swinging the bat real well. You know, a lot of talk tonight that we heard that, you know, he's going after that first pitch and trying to be more aggressive early in the counts and get things started for the Brewers. But it just seems like it's going to take him a little bit to get himself just really dialed in. And I thought, you know, you get the ball in the zone where he can put him, can hurt you, and he has done that. He swung the bat really well. That high changeup tonight, was able to stay back and drive the ball to the ballpark. That was so good to see. But, you know, they need him. They need him to swing the bat well. And you're exactly right. You put him in the top of the lineup, put Terang and Contreras behind him. That's a pretty good start to a lineup that should be able to score some runs.
The thing that the Brewers are going through right now offensively, particularly with the bottom third of their order, number one, I think Sal Frelick will get back on track. He's too smart of a hitter. He has too much bat-to-ball skills. To see this amount of pop-ups from him right now is so odd, and it's really come out of nowhere for him. Remember, this dude nearly hit 300 last season. I trust that he will get it back on track. I'm not saying he's going to hit 300, but he should be a 270 hitter with a 350 on pace. That should be what Sal Frelick is after, especially in the bottom half of the order. But the way I see it right now for the Brewers is, You're off to this great start 43 games in. You're once again at a season high, 9 games above 500, with virtually nothing from shortstop, from center field, and for the majority of the season, from left field too, to a certain extent. And even third base you can throw in there too. I mean, if this is the worst it gets, and they're 26-17 with this offense, and by the way, you've got Cooper, you've got Jet Williams, you've got maybe Eddie's Leonard, I don't know, he's been the surprise of AAA, you've got Luis Lara down there. I mean, there are options to choose from reinforcement-wise, and again, if they're 9 games above 500 with what it currently is, I let my mind wander of what it could be if either A, the guys that we expect to start hitting more do so, and B, they call up and give some guys a chance that probably are getting close to deserving it.
Yeah, I think what you're going to see, I think when you look at this ball club, and there are some struggles going on. You know, you mentioned Sal, he's going to come on. I think when you look at this ball club, the health is really important. They're getting really healthy, and the healthier they get, they're going to be that much better. So I just think that once they get healthy, they get the consistent lineup. I think guys are going to come up and they're going to start swinging the bats. They're going to have better at plate discipline, and they're going to hit the ball and put the ball in play and do the things like they have been doing earlier in the season. So I think this offense is going to come around. I think you see Vaughn just is starting to get a number at bats where he's swinging the bat not as good as he has in the past, but he's swinging the bat pretty well. Today he had a nice ball. He hit back up the middle, and then you take Jake Bowers, and he's just been fantastic. He's a key part to this ball club right now when you can get him in the lineup. So it just needs guys to get in the lineup, get the at-bats, stay healthy, and I think everything else will come around.
Yeah, for me, it's my, you know, who's hot, who's cold of things to look out for right now for the Brewers. And obviously, they're a little cold right now, but the fact is, when the Brewers get more production out of that left side of the infield, however it happens, if Joey Ortiz suddenly starts ripping the baseball, that would be awesome to see. Or if Luis Renjifo gets things going in the right direction again, that'd be awesome to see too. Or if they call up Jett Williams, who homered tonight. Or if they call up Cooper Proud, who homered tonight. Jesus Madei hit two homers tonight down in Double-A. I mean, this farm is ridiculously loaded. So, like, the bottom half of the order is cold, but some of these prospects are hot right now, and it's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. So with summer heat coming fast today, wow, what a toasty one today. Don't get caught without a working AC when you need it most. At Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical, they're offering $25 off on AC tune-ups, but only through the end of May. Appointments are filling up quick, so act now. Schedule your tune-up today at Sider, Sider.com before it's too late. I want to give some love to the manager. I think very underrated what he's been doing the last week or so. We'll talk about that next here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. We'll do some buy or sell here. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. That's the phone number. With Gary Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. You know, Augie, I just want to give Murph some love here because I thought Murph managed this game brilliantly. To know that he had a short bullpen, yes, he had Uribe getting ready just in case things got hairy there in the ninth, but I think he really wanted to stay away from him. We knew he wanted to stay away from Ashby and McGill, and given this was a one-run game, held hesitation on, say, Grant Anderson, D.L. Hall. There weren't many leveraged lefty opportunities in this game, but the two things that just jump out to me, number one, letting Chad finish this game. And number two, the confidence and the understanding that I know it didn't bear any fruit there in the bottom or in the top of the ninth inning, but Gary gets aboard and says, I'll burn the DH. I don't care. And goes and runs for Gary immediately with David Hamilton and lets William catch the ninth inning. I mean, a lot of managers would be scared to have both their catchers burned in the same game. And yes, it was for one inning, and you could say, like, wow, it's not a big deal. But in a one-run game, he got better defensively with his catcher. He had a chance at an insurance run with the speed of Hamilton and ultimately didn't work out. But, like, those are little things that, like, managers don't pop up in box scores. And one-run games, little things add up. And I thought Murph had a really, really good game as the manager today.
I agree with you. I thought even leaving Ortiz to hit, I believe it was the eighth inning, why not pinch hit for him like he would in many spots? Well, what you do is you might change yourself a little bit defensive. Joey's such a great shortstop. But I agree with you. I thought the way they set it up today, and I think a lot had to do with Murph was in the way they were thinking is if they were going to go with Patrick after, they were going to go with Chad Patrick after Henderson. I think that was all constituted by the way Chad threw the ball the other day out of the bullpen. He was electric. He was dying. He was throwing those cutters really well. He was hitting the outside and inside part of the plate. He had his good fastball. He reached back and got a 94, 95, 96 fastball when he needed it. I think that had a lot to do with the way they went about it. But to put Chad Patrick out there and say, you know what, if he gets out there and he's commanding the way he can command, I'm going to see what I can get out of him. It'll help us make an adjustment for this bullpen, this pitching staff, that'll make us healthier in the days ahead. And I thought that was a great move by Murph by allowing Chad Patrick to go to four innings.
I mean, it was the whole game, the fact that it was such a tight contest. Both teams hit one solo homer in this game. And I think, like we talked about with the pitching segment too, the pitchers were kind of telling them how they were doing, and I thought a big moment, too, was when Chad Patrick got the strikeout to end the eighth inning. There was no big yell. There was no big release of emotion. He was ready to go back out there for the ninth inning. And Chad, you know, kudos to Chad for being ready to do so. And he was speaking to the media just a moment ago. And I talked to him earlier this week just about the fact that he's just thinking less out of the bullpen. And he wished he could have done that as a starter, but he doesn't see this as a demotion. And that communication has to be maintained between manager and player. And he understands, I am here to get important outs, whether that's at the front of the game or the back end of the game. I'm here to get multiple innings and multiple outs. And that's another thing about a manager, communication with your players. And another, you know, feather in the cap for Pat Murphy. There's a reason he's been back-to-back manager of the year.
Yeah, you know, and you know, what a great night for Chad Patrick to get your first save ever. I mean, that is so special. You know, and what it does, it just shows the confidence in the way this team is constructed, the way they have the way they go about their game, the way they go about playing every day. And everybody says, well, do they know who they're playing every day? Well, I'm sure they know who they're playing, but they play day to day. They take each day at a time and try to achieve the things that they have to do and do it well. And that's you really got to respect how Murph does it. And I tell you what, for Chad Patrick today, that was phenomenal. And I'll tell you what, talk about a vote of confidence. You go out, you're in a starting rotation, you struggle a little bit, you go out, you have one time out of the bullpen, you throw pretty well, to go back and have Murph have the confidence in you to get that save. That's really special. That shows not only Chad Patrick that, hey, you belong here, we need you to get things out. It shows everybody on that ball club that, you know what, everybody's needed. Everybody's going to get their opportunity. Be ready, because that's the way we play the game.
The Brewers are in a really good spot right now. It's May 16th, so let's everybody pump the brakes, take a chill pill. But it's great to see. May 16th, the Brewers were still under 500 this time last year. I mean, they were still trying to find their edge, in the words of Pat Murphy. And here they are, continuing to roll and continuing to be clearly one of the best teams in the National League, and I wouldn't want it any other way, Augie.
No, just when they're playing, I'll tell you what. And over the years, you go into Minnesota, I don't ever remember going through a time in Minnesota over a number of years where you've had that much success again in this border battle. I don't ever remember that in all the years of playing the Minnesota Twins. But I'll tell you what, they're on a run with the Minnesota Twins playing well. Like last year, we had multitude of runs, and this year the pitching has really told the story. And they're in a good spot right now, and I agree with you. They're just, everything is not firing on all cylinders, but they're doing the things they have to do to win ball games.
Yep, absolutely. Augie, appreciate you as always, and going for another sweep tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
All right. Hopefully we can get between the raindrops, get the game in, and hopefully the Brewers come up with a nice sweep. That would be really good for them.
That would be huge. Jerry Augustine joining us here on 620 WTMJ. Our buy or sell there, talking about the manager, is brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. Powered by Keller Williams, they bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. Let's talk a little bit more about this lineup. What could actually be done? What are things that are realistically could be happening before the end of May, maybe before the end of June? Whatever the Brewers decide to ultimately do with their farm, let's try to forecast that out coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Let's also knock out our International Autos Group Player of the Game. It's the easiest pick. It could be either one of the pitchers or Jackson Churio. For me, I'm going to go with Churio. You need the offense, right? Brewers win 2-1. And a co-MVP of the game for the pitchers of Chad and Logan. Player of the Game is brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive in a summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit IAMilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. A couple texts that have rolled in here. This one from Aaron in Illinois. You know, usually when a starting pitcher pitches his way into the bullpen, it's on a negative note. Looks like Patrick did it on a positive note. Absolutely love him in the bullpen. Didn't this get experimented with in the playoffs last year? Patrick's my player of the game, and Sal will come around. Yeah, that was part of what opened everyone's eyes the performance last year in the DS and the CS for Chad Patrick. I believe it was 9 1/3 innings. He had 11 strikeouts, just one walk, just one run allowed. He was brilliant. He was absolutely brilliant last postseason. And it kind of opened eyes like, well, you have this logjam of starting pitchers, assuming Woodruff and Priester were healthy, right? So one of those guys was going to go to the bullpen eventually. And right now it's Chad, but like we said, it doesn't feel like he feels like it's a negative. But the offense continues to be the thing that I think people are worried about. And this stat, I just hate reporting this stat, but it's just the truth. You can find it yourself. Blake Perkins is 0-for as a left-handed hitter this year. 0-for-31, which is astounding. I wonder, you know, the stop and start, the nature of his season. Remember, he got optioned, spent the last week in minor league camp. Then he has to be up for, you know, opening day after he thought. I mean, he's been going through it a little bit here. And I know he had the hit on Mother's Day, but Blake's going through it right now. And then we've, you know, the struggles of Joey Ortiz have been very well documented. I just wonder how much longer Jett Williams and or Cooper Pratt stays in AAA. And Jett in particular. Because I think Jett's more likely to get called up than Cooper because of the fact that he plays multiple positions of need right now for the Brewers. And he's right-handed, right? Whereas, you know, he can play short, he can play third, he can play center. And Perkins is better from the right side than he is from the left side. That's one spot there. Or you look at the infield. We've talked about Joey. Renjifo was supposed to be better from the left side than the right side, which has been, or I should say, against left-handed pitching than right-handed pitching, but it's been the opposite so far this season, so I wonder if that's a thing. But I just, the concern from the Brewers' perspective is he still going to be able to stay sharp? Is he still going to be able to be playing every day? Is, you know, when you're in AAA, you get to play all the time. No interruptions, really. In the big leagues, hey, winning's the only thing that matters. And if the Brewers don't feel you can help them win on that given night, you're not going to play every day. And could that hurt a player's development? And I just want to reiterate, too, as somebody who's seen it on the minor league side, the gap right now between even just AA and AAA is the biggest it has ever been. And that's not even including AAA in the show, which is also the biggest it's ever been. But I need you to understand, like, there is no pitching. None. Like, this is a legitimate concern across Major League Baseball that by contracting the size of the minor leagues and by limiting the season, I mean, there are games and series getting canceled in complex ball because there's not enough pitching. And that matriculates its way up where even tonight in Biloxi, a kid through the last two innings gave up 12 runs because there's nobody else to throw. I mean, there's a serious concern right now about the viability and the quality of pitching in the minors right now because everybody is worried about injuries. And thus that impacts what you see offensively. Everybody is on an offensive boom right now in the minor leagues because the pitching's that bad. But then when you get up to the show, it's the best pitching in the world, and that's why you see some of these guys, aside from the freaks, struggle when they get up to the big leagues because they've never seen anything like this before. So there are always reasons for the madness. I just want to bring that up because talking to people who understand what's going on in the minor leagues, that's why there's hesitation. You say, oh, just call that guy up. Like, well, 260 in AAA, it's like 160 in the show right now. It's a legitimate concern, but who knows? It will happen. I'm telling you what, one of those guys, at least one of those guys, of Jett Williams, Cooper Pratt, Luis Lara, I think at least one of them plays in the big leagues before the end of the first half. I truly believe that. I truly, truly believe that. The Brewers are serious about winning, which I know they are. That will happen, in my opinion. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. He's coming up next. Then highlights, and we'll give you a little weather forecast before we say goodbye here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Winner, winner for the Brewers. They win 2-1. They've won 7 of their last 8. Here they come. You hear the Jaws music? Anyway, Brewers get the win. Pat Murphy in a good mood. They go for the sweep tomorrow. Here's the manager.
Fantastic. I mean, we did it all night. Henderson did it and Chad did it. Every time there's runners in scoring position, you know, they did the job. I'm sure, I don't know what they were with runners in scoring position, but I'm going to say, you know, 1-for-10, you know. And we probably were probably the same.
We were 1-for-8.
We were 1-for-8.
Although you got another one.
Yeah, we were 0-for. We were 1-for-8. They were
Twins over eight.
So seven left on base.
It was one of those spots. You're talking about Gary, the second. The base is loaded. Looked like Logan wasn't comfortable, super comfortable with the changeup, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't as good early as it became. Threw some good ones to Outman later on, but, you know, he gave up a home run on a cutter and then gave up the triple on a changeup, right? But, yeah, I mean, Henderson was great, and Patrick was even better. I mean, it was a great combination. But, yeah, we had, you know, some discussion on who and when and how much to use Chad. We want to be able to use him going forward, but I don't know how many he threw, but, you know, he's probably down 2 days for sure. But he was, you know, I think we're clear that he can pitch in big situations.
Why do you think he's so much, I don't want to say better, but in control, has looked this way in a bullpen role, but it didn't quite look like that?
I think he's ready every day, so I don't think there's that five-day anxiousness waiting for the day to come. I think he's born to be out there and be out there a lot. And, you know, he'll be relaxed the next 2 days knowing he's down, but then, you know, he'll never know. Like, when am I going back in? I don't get to be anxious. I could go in any of these games for an inning or four innings, you know. So, really proud of him. Big.
What length did you initially want out of him? Like, when you first
We were thinking two, and then Grant Anderson or D.L. Hall, or then Uribe. If we, you know, we're on top. But the way he was throwing the ball and the way, you know, him and Gary worked the left-handed hitters was really good.
For Jackson, was that Ooh. That's a good Jackson Cheerio game?
Yeah, I mean, he looked like he was going down the wrong path early, and the coaches have been with him, you know, Guillermo and Vogie and E.T. have been talking to him about different things, making adjustments. Contreras is adding his piece to it, and you know, Jackson really worked today pregame, and like he always does, but he was really frustrated, and man, it was great.
How did Yelich's pregame go?
Very good.
Are you expecting him to be available tomorrow?
Yeah.
And Robert Gasser start tomorrow?
Is that an announced story?
No. That's why there was a question mark at the end of that. Is there a chance it's Robert Gasser tomorrow?
I mean, really, anybody's got a shot that's in the organization, Adam. Anybody that puts on a Brewer uniform can start. I was thinking about Bowers. He's had some good outings last year. Well, Gasser was here on taxi today, but I think there's a good chance.
Could be anybody. Could be Shane Drouin. Could be Robert Gasser. Could be Jake Bowers. Who knows? Let's relive it coming up next with highlights as the Brewers win 2-1.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
A Wisconsin kid as the opponent. That's right. The Brewers game two of the series with the Twins in the border battle. Connor Prelip of Toma in central Wisconsin getting the start for the Twins against Logan Henderson for the Crew. This one was stressful early for Logan. He had second and third and nobody out in the second inning. He struck out Royce Lewis. But then he walked Tristan Gray. He struck out James Outman. Bases loaded. Two outs. Top of the order up. And Logan buckles down.
Two balls and two strikes here on Martin. Henderson kicks. Delivers. And a swing and a foul tip held onto by Sanchez. Logan Henderson roaring as he comes off the mound. The bases were loaded. No problem for Logan.
It was a 30-pitch inning for Henderson. He gets out of it unscathed. The problem is, on the other side, Prelip was really good to start this game. He had four strikeouts before allowing a hit in his 11th batter of the contest, the clean single by Bryce Terang in the fourth. He got to second on a walk by Andrew Vaughn, and then a little bit of batted ball luck for the Brewers.
0-2.
Ground ball hit to third, and it goes under the glove of Royce Lewis and into left field. Around third is Terang. Throw to the plate is cut off. An error by Royce Lewis on what otherwise might have been a double play ground ball. The Brewers have tied the game at one, and Vaughn stops at second. Renjifo safe at first.
All right, all tied up at one. I failed to mention that Trevor Larnach had hit a home run off Logan Henderson, but that was the only blip on his radar, because in the fifth inning, he got revenge on Larnach for his last batter of the game.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out and lets out a yell after he does so. Larnach got him for a home run in the third. Henderson gets even in the bottom of the fifth with a swinging strikeout. He climbed the ladder with a fastball at 93. And it's a 1-2-3 fifth for Logan Henderson.
So seven strikeouts today for Logan brings him to 56 Ks in his first nine games of his career. That's the second most all-time for a Brewer, only trailing Freddy Peralta at 63 and one ahead of Jacob Mizorowski. Problem is, it's still a 1-1 ball game, and Logan's probably done. He's getting handshakes while Churio's going yard.
It's a 1-1 Brewers game, and Jackson Churio, a drive to left center. This ball is up, it is back, it is gone. First pitch of the sixth inning, and Jackson Churio with his first home run of the season. Brewers lead it 2-1.
He would add a double later in this game, but then a big moment with his glove in the seventh inning. With one out, a triple down the right field line by James Altman off of Chad Patrick. The infield was in, the outfield was not, and Churio made sure to take care of business.
Patrick with a 3-2. Swinging a little pop in a shallow left. In comes Churio, still sprinting, diving, making the catch. Runner does not tag. That is out number two. Jackson Churio sliding on his knees, sprinting towards the infield.
That kept it a 2-1 lead for the Brewers. Chad Patrick, that triple. Turns out it would be the only base runner he would allow. 1-2-3 in the eighth. 1-2 in the ninth. All that's left is Tristan Gray.
Kicks, delivers, and a soft liner right into the glove of Joey Ortiz, who squeezes it, and the Brewers win another one-run game. They've taken the first two of this series here in Minneapolis. 2-1 your final. The Brewers win this series, and they'll go for a sweep in the border battle tomorrow afternoon.
This time last year, in this border battle in Milwaukee, the Brewers were four games under 500. They had been shut out in four of their last five games. They still hadn't really turned it on, whereas now they're on a new high water mark, nine games above 500. Brewers win 2-1 on just five hits, no errors for Milwaukee. They left seven. One run on seven hits, one error for the Twins. They also left seven. The winner is Logan Henderson, 1-1. The loser is Connor Prelip. He's 1-2, but he still had eight strikeouts in a quality start for him. And the first career save to Chad Patrick in four innings for Chad as well. We'll wrap up the program with a little update on what's going on with the weather. It is going to be hit or miss in a quick lap around the out-of-town scoreboard as well. As the Brewers have taken the series, now they go for the sweep. Time to get greedy right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Last couple minutes of the program here before we say goodnight. We are scheduled for a 1:10 first pitch tomorrow afternoon. It is TBD for the Brewers, but as you heard Pat Murphy say there a moment ago, likely to be Robert Gasser, but we shall see. There would need to be a corresponding roster move to activate Robert Gasser from AAA Nashville. Now, remember, the Brewers did recall and bring Peter Strzelecki onto the 40-man roster today. Unfortunate that he did not get into the game, but he does not have options remaining, so we will see what the Brewers decide to do there. There is still other opportunities. Shane Drouin, I don't think that would be the move for the Brewers right now, but we'll see what happens tomorrow. But there's rain in the forecast. We are scheduled for a noon Brewers warm-up, and we'll have a better idea by then to decide whether or not what this game is looking like. And a reminder, you do kind of got to get it in, because yes, these two teams play one more time in Milwaukee, but you know, I just think that for the sake of home field and for the sake of just getting it done when you can, that would be much more preferred. The Twins come to Milwaukee for a weekend, Friday, August 7th, 8th, and 9th. And there are no off days on either end of that homestand for the Brewers. So it's not like you can just have them come a day early or something like that. And then you're talking mutual off day stuff or a doubleheader stuff. Who knows? But let's just hope they get it in tomorrow. Let's just hope they play ball and the rain keeps getting pushed back like it's looking like right now on the forecast models. But it's going to be a wet, chilly, windy morning there in Minnesota. There's always some weird weather happening whenever the Brewers are in Minnesota. It's been like boiling hot before in the past. It's been very odd in the border battle. But then the Brewers continue this road trip and they go to face the Chicago Cubs, who are riding a 15-game winning streak at Wrigley Field. 6:40 on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. All night games down on the north side. And then it's an off day on Thursday before opening up a 6-game homestand with the Dodgers and the Cardinals. So it's going to get really real, really fast, coming up here right around the corner. Speaking of those Cubs, Crosstown Cup, they're on the south side taking on the White Sox today, and it's all Chicago in that one. Chicago teed off 8-3 over the Cubs. Homers from Manuel Vargas, from Colson Montgomery. Munetaka Murakami hit 2 in this game. Even Andrew Benintendi got on the party. Murakami's got 17 homers. Oh, my goodness. And we mentioned in the pregame show, Davis Martin, maybe the best pitcher you haven't heard of because I didn't mention it either. He's got a 1.61 ERA in 56 innings, 59 strikeouts, and a whip under 1. I tell you what, that sweep to start the season is looking better and better every day when the Brewers swept the White Sox, because the White Sox are still above 500. They're 23-22. They're one of only two teams above 500 in the AL Central. The Guardians are 25-22. Minnesota, 20-26. Detroit's 20-26. And depending on what happens with Scooble, they got Casey Mize back today. But in Kansas City, oof, they've lost 6 games in a row. They are 6-17 on the road. Other games here in the Central Division, the Cardinals defeated the Royals 4-2. The tarps off clip was pretty funny there in right field. If you haven't seen it, go on social media. You won't have to go very far to find it. We mentioned the Cubs losing as well. The Pirates get shut out by Christopher Sanchez, a CG for Sanchez and the Phillies. 6-0 Philadelphia with the victory there. And then finally in the Ohio Cup, Cincinnati and Cleveland, that series is level at a game apiece. 7-4 Cleveland victorious here tonight. Highlighted by a homer from Angel Martinez in that one. Travis Bazzano went 1-for-5 as the Australians been good. Jose Ramirez off to a very slow start, but he was 2-for-4 in tonight's game for the Guards. And then finally, a couple of games that are still going on right now out west. Freeway Series, Dodgers up 2-0 on the Angels in the top of the 6th at the Big A. And then also the Giants are in Sacramento 5-1. San Francisco leads Sacramento as they are trying to level that series as well. All right, once again, we are on the air at noon for Brewers warm-up as we get ready for Twins and Brewers, the finale of this series, this edition of the Border Battle on Rivalry Weekend. Likely Robert Gasser against the right-hander Bailey Ober. So once we know, we will let you know tomorrow on the pregame show, and hopefully we're missing raindrops and we're able to play right on time. So that is going to do it for our program here tonight. My thanks to Jerry Augustine and to our producer, Evan Witalison. I'm Dom Catronio. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Keep on swinging.